I've really got to figure out a way to start this stupid show. I don't have a co-host to, like, you know, to go back and forth with and be all like, oh, we were having a conversation and look at that, the show just started. Because that's the way I used to start the Adam and Maddie show, is we would just act like we were involved in conversation, which was by design. And I don't have an announcer voice where I could say, you know, from high atop the whatever, whatever, you're listening to, you know, I am your host or whatever. So anyway, this is Geeky Gay. I'm Adam. And for anyone who hasn't listened, it's basically just a personal journal podcast. I'm not trying necessarily to be funny, because sometimes I am and sometimes I'm not. And so, you know, I don't want to necessarily list this as comedy. And I am a geek. I'm an automation. So here's my title. I am a software quality assurance automation engineer, is what I am. So if you want to Google that, you can tell me what I do for a living. But anyway, so I am in the software industry and I am very much a geek. So that's why I call it Geeky Gay. I won't necessarily always talk about geeky stuff or give you technology tips. Sometimes I will, but it is just my own personal journal podcast. So if you don't find it interesting to listen to, I hope you do, because I have low self-esteem and I need affirmation. But anyway, so that's what I wanted to talk about, actually. I know I said last week that I was going to talk about an article, and, you know, I just decided that I probably am not going to discuss that. It's a little bit of a whole lot of a downer, but I've been, as all of you know who've been listening, I've been dealing with some loneliness. I moved to Arkansas. There aren't as many gay people, and I just have issues with, you know, needing, I need close friends to feel like, you know, I'm not lonely. And it's hard for me to make close friends because of my whole, you know, I try to act a certain way around certain people, and I don't, anyway. So I've already gone over that in another show, but I called the resource line for my job, and basically they say it's a free service that you can call and you can get kind of therapy sessions for free, but it's over the phone. And then if they think that you need to do something in person, then, you know, they will recommend that and possibly help you find someone that has, you know, does the kind of therapy that you're looking for. And because I'm trying to work on, as I get older, I really need to work on my self-esteem issues, because they're not going to get any better. I mean, no matter how much I work out or how much I tan or how much I diet or how thin I get or, you know, whatever, there's always going to be stuff that I'm not happy about. And so, you know, I really need to work on it. And I've analyzed myself so much. I called this girl. I mean, there was a girl who was kind of the intake therapist. I didn't find that out until spilling my guts for an hour with her. I'm sure she's like, why is this guy going on for an hour about his problems and telling me every little detail when I'm just the intake therapist? But anyway, so I, after talking to her, she says, well, you know, it sounds like you know yourself very well and you've analyzed every single thing. And, you know, you've probably talked to therapists or different people about it over and over and over again. But it sounds like, and I'm paraphrasing here, but she's like, basically like, it sounds like you haven't done fuck all to solve any of your problems. So she recommended something called cognitive therapy. And she recommended a book called Feeling Good. It's by David Burns. So I rushed out to Amazon, to my local Amazon store. That would be on the internet. And I purchased the book. Now, just so you know, you can't get an audio version and you can't get it on Kindle either. So, you know, you're going to have to buy the paperback version if you want to get this. But so far, I'm on page 142 and it's very good. I do have to say, though, the one thing that I don't like is I didn't realize, I guess I did know this, but I didn't want to, is that working on your mental and emotional self is just as much work as working on your physical self. You actually have to do homework and do stuff to work on this. But I wanted to read, so basically, my little abbreviation or abbreviated version of what cognitive therapy is your cognitions are your thoughts. And so so basically the theory is that depression or low self-esteem is not something that happens and you feel bad, therefore you have these negative thoughts. It's the reverse. You have negative thoughts, and they may be very fleeting and very quick, but you have these thoughts in various circumstances in your life, maybe all day long, every day, but especially when certain situations happen and trigger these thoughts in your head. And then those thoughts that occur, which are usually very critical and irrational. Anyway, they cause you to have these feelings of depression and negative feelings. So the theory is that you basically, cognitive therapy, you basically combat those negative thoughts, and instead you try to think positive thoughts. It kind of reminds me of that. I don't know if any of you ever watched like Self-Affirmation or whatever. It was the Saturday Night Live skit with that guy, and he'd be like, I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me, or whatever. And but it kind of reminds me of that. Gary Smalley, I think, is the name of the character. But so anyway, basically, you will have those negative thoughts, but your goal is to isolate exactly what those thoughts are, and then write down both that thought and write down an argument against that thought, or kind of, you know, the reality. So like if you're thinking I'm a loser, you know, then you would write, no, I'm not a loser. This particular scenario, I might have failed. However, there are plenty of things in my life in which I don't fail, and yada, yada, yada. So I cannot use a blanket statement that I am a loser. So you would do that for all of your negative thoughts. Well, I didn't want to go over all of that necessarily, but I wanted to read some stuff here because I just thought it was really interesting. And these are what the guy and the author, I guess, if I didn't say it, his name is David D. Burns. And anyway, so if you're looking for this book, it's Feeling Good by David Burns. And he has definitions of cognitive distortions, and there are 10 of them. So basically, he categorizes these thoughts. And I just wanted to go over these. There's all or nothing thinking. Basically, you see things in black and white categories. If your performance falls short of perfection, you see yourself as a total failure. So basically, if you, let's say you're on a diet and you're trying to lose 2 pounds a week and you only lose a pound, you know, someone like me would totally overreact and feel like a total loser, and like you're never going to lose all the weight that you want to lose because you're off track. So that would be an example of all or nothing thinking. Because I didn't lose the exact amount that I wanted to lose, there's something wrong. And so like his example was, because I lost the race for governor, I'm a zero. Or, you know, now I'm a total failure when a straight A student got a B on an exam. The second one is overgeneralization. So it basically says overgeneralization is performing, you arbitrarily conclude that one thing that happened to you once will occur over and over again. You multiply like the Jack of Spades. Since what happened is invariably unpleasant, you feel upset. So, like, something bad will happen to you, and you'll say, that's just my luck. The birds are always crapping on my window, you know, or whatever the case may be. So, the third one, and let me just tell you, all 10 of these I am guilty of. But I just found these so interesting, because I've never seen this actually written out, and these are things that I would actually think. The third one is called mental filter, and it basically says you pick out a negative detail in any situation and dwell on it exclusively, thus perceiving that the whole situation is negative. And so, you know, he gives an example of, you know, a college student who was depressed and heard some other students making fun of her best friend, And she became furious and thought that's just what the human race is like, cruel and insensitive. So she basically categorized everyone into that category because she was focusing on the negative. I can think for me, you can say a positive comment to me and give me a compliment, but my brain will zero in on anything that could possibly be perceived as negative. And I will focus on that. Number four was disqualifying the positive. An even more spectacular mental illusion is the persistent tendency of some depressed individuals to transform neutral or even positive experiences into negative ones. They simply ignore the positive experience. So an example of that would be, you know, when you receive a compliment and you say something like, oh, they're just being nice, or, you know, oh, it's nothing really, or something like that. And you totally disqualify the compliment that you're getting. And that annoys people as well. I do this with Mark. He tells me I'm sexy, and then I'll say, well, do you really think I'm sexy? You know, your tone didn't sound right. And I won't just accept the compliment and say thank you. Number five is jumping to conclusions. So he calls this mind reading or fortune teller. So you make the assumption that other people are looking down on you, and you're so convinced about this that you don't even bother to check it out. So like you're giving a speech and you know, someone looks like they're nodding off. Maybe they're just tired from something that happened the night before. The other one is predicting the fortune teller, and you basically imagine that something bad is about to happen. You know, even though the fact is unrealistic and, you know, it's possible that nothing bad is going to happen at all. The sixth one is magnification and minimization. Basically, he says you think of it as a binocular trick. So basically, you magnify anything negative and you actually minimize anything positive. Emotional reasoning. You take your emotions as evidence for the truth. Your logic, I feel like a dud, therefore I am a dud. And then should statements. So you say, I must do that or I should do that. And it makes you anxious, pressured, and resentful because of those thoughts. And then there's labeling. And that's just like basically you have a negative thought and you label either yourself or others. I'm a failure. I'm a loser. He's a jerk. Things of that nature. Nothing is concrete. So you're not a loser. No one is a loser. There may be some things in their life that they need to work on, but that doesn't mean that they're a loser. It just means that they have areas that they need to work on. And then the 10th one, personalization. This distortion is the mother of guilt. You assume responsibility for a negative even when there is no basis for doing so. So, you know, basically I've been reading this book and it wants me to list my negative thoughts. And he says take 10 or 15 minutes every day, list your negative thoughts, figure out what kind of cognitive definition that falls under, and then write your response to that and refute it basically with actual factual information. Well, come on, guy. I mean, I'm going to try, but I have so many negative thoughts throughout the day that there's no way. I mean, he says spend 10 or 15 minutes. That would get me through like the first hour of my day. I mean, I'm just, I don't know. I have so many negative thoughts. I mean, Mark could be saying totally nice things and somehow I could construe them as being negative. Or my mind will be saying, well, maybe he thinks this today, but he's not going to think that tomorrow. Or, you know, if he only saw me when I wasn't fixed up, or if he only, you know, and I'm always, all these negative thoughts are coming into my head. So it's just like, I'm going to have so much to write down. I'm going to have, you know, two or three novels to work with. But overall, the book has been good. I've been reading it while I'm on the elliptical and, you know, some stuff like that. So I've been trying to really read it and try to put it to use. So by the time you guys see me in Vegas, those of you who are coming to Vegas, then you know, I'll be, my self-esteem will be perfect. I won't be depressed. I won't be lonely. I'll be happy all the time and everything will be great. So, and I know, I mean, it's not like I'm suicidal or anything like that. And, you know, that I need to, I don't know. I mean, so anyway, that's, and maybe this was, I hope that wasn't boring information, but I found it really interesting that, you know, those definitions match so many of the thoughts that I have in my head. I don't know any of you, but if you sit down and think, and even if you're not having a problem with self-esteem or, you know, depression or any negativeness, even if your life is perfect, just, I challenge you to think during the day, what negative thoughts am I having? And what's the reality behind those thoughts? I mean, you know, if you're thinking, oh my gosh, you know, this horrible, horrible thing is going to happen because, you know, of whatever, you know, me being late turning in this work assignment or something, you know, then really look at that thought and tell yourself the truth. You know, there's no way for you to know exactly what's going to happen and your life will go on, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, I think this is really going to help me. I wanted to mention one other thing. Here's another example of negativity. I don't believe in astrology, but Mark told me he's a Libra. And so I've been obsessed reading like all this astrology for Libra and Leos, like for a week. So it's like I'll read, and the thing it says about Libra, even though there are many, many wonderful things that it says about Libras, you know, they're creative, they're loving, they're charming, they're very good at parties, you know, they're a good match for a Leo, et cetera, et cetera. You know, there are the other things like they don't like to be controlled. They can seem insincere at the beginning, you know, because they like to keep their options open. They don't want to ever discuss anything because they have a fear of confrontation. So I've been reading like every possible freaking article that I could on Libras and Leos, because I'm a Leo, you know, and ultimately Leo, just so all of you guys know, if you're not a Leo, Leo is supposed to be love, attention, and praise. And that, and even though I don't believe in astrology, that is me like to a T. So much so that I need praise and attention and affection and acceptance to be happy. They say a Leo will be loyal and take care of the person that they're with and, you know, be very romantic and loving and affectionate and all of those things, as long as they're getting the praise that they feel like they deserve for that. And it also says that Leos like to have a trophy on their arm. So anybody that they're going to date, they have to feel like this is someone that they really want to show off to other people. And I have to say that Mark is someone that I would want to show off to other people. If I can convince him to come to Pride 48, maybe I can show him off to other people. But anyway, to contact me and find out about, I don't know, my sign or whatever you want, you can go to my Google Plus page. Just look for Geeky Gay on Google Plus. You can also follow me on Twitter. It's Adam H, the number 2 T on Twitter. I may be changing that soon, but for right now, that's still at Adam H, the number 2 T on Twitter. And Google Plus, look for Geeky Gay. Those are the ways that you can contact me currently. So I know I'm only getting one out this week, but maybe I'll be able to increase it to two at some point. Anyway, I will talk to you guys. I hope you found this interesting, and I will talk to you guys next time. Bye, everybody.